question.
Well, hello.
My question for you is, when you get to the end of a novel, or when you get to the end of a really, like a show that has a lot of seasons or something like that, do you have an empty place?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, how would you describe the empty place?
So,
because these are fictional characters,
right? Okay,
they're not real, Thomas.
Let me set this up by saying this is one of the reasons why I don't finish things very well.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, if I put a lot of effort into something or a lot of time, a lot of times I'll get 92% done.
Wow!
And just leave it. And like my Charlie Jobe is like this too. I realized this recently. He talked about how he has a bunch of half-finished projects, and I was like, I do the same thing. Like, I've been building a retaining wall for 2 months.
Yeah.
And I have a 2-foot section that I have left to do, and then fill dirt behind it.
But I don't understand.
I have 1 day's work left, and I have put it off for 2 weeks.
Why, though?
What do I do next? And then it's like, I don't know.
Your face got so serious.
So like,
oh yeah, listener, like, I wish you could have seen Thomas's face.
Like other things, like, you know, I just re-downloaded my 62-hour Sherlock Holmes collection on Audible.
Wow.
I was like 40 hours done with it. And I couldn't, I was like, which like, you know,
still
that's
had 22 hours,
but still that's a, like, in the grand scheme of things, I had listened to a lot, and I just felt myself being like, well, like, it's hard for me to start shows because I know they're like, I guess subliminally, I know that's not the right word. I know somewhere in my mind, they're going to end one day. Like when I finished How I Met Your Mother the first time, it was like, they're just done. These people are just done.
The feeling I have is that I feel like we're not friends anymore. I feel like I've been walking with these people for a long time, and now we're not friends. Like, I just got finished reading a book that was, there's an amazing Tony Award winning musical called Hadestown about the Greek myth of Orpheus and Eurydice and Hades and Persephone. And the lady that wrote that musical wrote a book about like the years that it took her to write it and how many changes it went through during different phases of the thing or whatever. And we've listened to Hadestown like so much over the past few months. And as I've been reading this book, and like, I just finished the book like 25 minutes ago. And I'm so sad. I feel like all of my Hadestown friends are, I feel like a bereavement.
Ooh. Yeah.
Like, I feel like we're not friends anymore.
Yeah.
When the truth is, I can just go into Spotify and listen to Hadestown.
Right.
I feel that way. I was telling you just a minute ago, we went to a dinner last night, got home, and Jack, our 13-year-old son, was crying. I was like, what's wrong? What happened? And he was like, I just finished The Office. And he was like, Jim's video. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he was like, what? And he was like, I didn't finish The Office. And because I stopped watching when the show really ends.
No, don't.
Which is when Jim and Pam got married.
This show did not end then.
That's when the show ended.
There's three more seasons. No, it didn't. We're going to fight.
Are there three seasons, Thomas?
Yes. Like, are they as awesome as season 4 of The Office? No, because not many things are as awesome as season 4 of The Office. But like, are they better than 85% of other TV shows? Yeah. Are you going to laugh a ton? Yes. Are you going to get frustrated with characters like you do all the other seasons? Yes. Are you going to be annoyed? Yes. Are you going to have moments where you can't stop laughing until you cry? There's a moment, for whatever reason, I just remember this, like, and I think it's in like season 9 or 8, like, Dwight hosts like a dinner party at his house,
yeah,
and Jim somehow like writes a book on how to host a dinner party, puts it on Amazon, and gets Dwight to buy it, read it. And one of the things is, anytime someone walks into the premises, the host will shout out the name of whoever's coming. And Jim and Pam have a daughter named Cece.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Dwight calls her Pee-Pee. Jim, Pam, and Pee-Pee Halpert. And it is so funny.
Oh god.
Why haven't you watched it?
I just
redlined our entire show.
I've told you and I've told Clark and I've told Rob, give me your Mount Rushmore episodes post Jim and Pam wedding and I will watch them. Nobody's done it. Nobody will give me their list.
Because you can't. What does that mean?
Give me the four best episodes that happened after Jim and Pam's wedding and I'll watch
them. That's like telling me, hey, give me the four best chapters in book seven of Harry Potter and I'll finish it.
It's not like that.
It is.
Plus, I'll tell you a thing that I think, I wonder if you'll agree with this, but it's right. Give me The Office without BJ Novak's character in it.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I am so out on Ryan.
Yeah, no, just cancel Ryan.
I think he has a role in the show. Wow. But like, here's the thing. It's hard for me to like Ryan knowing that BJ Novak wrote it.
I know.
And he gives himself a lot of screen time.
I know.
And he plays way too big of a role. And I'm like,
and he's not.
This is a lot of hot takes. And somebody listening to this is like, what? I love BJ Novak. Great. I'm sure he's awesome.
Do you think BJ Novak listens to the show?
No. No. There is a moment, though, in Saving Mr. Banks.
Yeah.
Which he plays in.
Oh, I forgot about that.
It's fantastic. But the thing when they're explaining how they're singing A Spoonful of Sugar.
Yeah.
Makes the medicine go down. And they're like, no, she would say the word down and go up. Yeah. And he's like, and I'm like, wait, that's genius. I've never thought that. But I'm sorry. But I just, yeah, I'm not the biggest Ryan Howard fan.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you have spent a lot of time with characters, like a few years ago, Brad Warren convinced me to listen to the unshortened, like the whole like high octane version of the Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a lot of hours.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of hours with the Count of Monte Cristo and it was fantastic. And when it was over, I just had a vacuum of like, I don't have these people in my life anymore.
Right.
And now I just want to say all of their French sounding names.
I haven't done it. I haven't gone. That has not happened to me. I can't remember the last thing I like I just finished. No, I have 50 minutes left in The Case for Christ.
Wow.
And I have claimed that I've been done with it for
you're gonna miss Jesus at the end of it.
8 weeks. I've been done with it for 8 weeks.
You're gonna have a vacuum where you won't have.
Well, that's what Jesus I do. I'm like, here, I'm gonna read 92% of this book, and then I'll be done with it.
Welcome to Ancient and New. Oh gosh. Do you have a scripture for us to talk about?
Sure.
Think about. Let's do that.
I don't remember the last show I just watched for myself. I kind of started Community the other night.
That's Nora's show right now.
Yeah, I started because some friends of mine are watching it, and Maddie often will start a show, and I'll hop in. And that was one where like it was like season three before I realized she was watching it.
Yeah.
And I just missed it. So I'm a little bummed. But I'm starting to know.
Where are we going, T?
John 21.
Oh, we're both in the Gospels today.
Man, I just realized we're recording this on a Tuesday. We usually record on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
So that means tomorrow at 8:15, Matthew Ruiz is going to text me with some nonsense word.
Yeah, you're not loaded up.
And it's not going to be in our show.
Well, he got the title last week, so.
I know.
Did he respond?
Oh, yeah. He texted me and was pumped about it.
That's fantastic.
Gosh, I got a shirt from their website, and it's the coolest thing of all time. The Lou and Matthew shirt.
Yeah, today's episode has been sponsored by Lou and Matthew.
Yeah.
Not sponsored. I shouldn't say sponsored. Brought to you by.
Brought to you by, yeah. Okay, so let's start in verse 4.
I'm ready.
And this is funny. This is a straight up thievery by me. Someone said this to me this week. Tom said this to me this week, and I was like, I can't get over that. Ooh, so nice. I'm just gonna point it out to people. Like, I'm not taking any credit for this, and I loved it. But verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with some fish on it and some bread. I've always loved that. This is like a callback to something. Like I've inside joke's not the right way of putting it, but like
it's an inside joke.
Yeah.
I think it's the exact right way to put it.
Yeah. So like, it's just it's a callback to like the start of this whole thing. And like, you know, like John catches on, cause he was one of the guys there in Luke 5 who like would have, and he like, there's something about it that just like triggered the memory to him, obviously. And like, you know, they're up here because Jesus had told them to be like, "Hey, go to Galilee. I'll meet y'all there." And
this is after the resurrection.
After the resurrection, like a week later, a lot of people assume. And I love that. And this is the thing, like, it's always been cool to me. It's like Jesus was like, "I'm going to hit him with this thing right here really quick that they'll remember. It'll be like a little sign that it is I over here," or whatever. I'm speculating a ton there. But the thing that Tom pointed out to me this week that I haven't been able to shake was Peter's reaction in Luke 5 versus Peter's reaction in Luke 21. Do you remember Peter's reaction in Luke 5?
Is this the "Get away from me, I'm a sinful man"?
Falls on his face, "Get away from me, sinful man."
Yeah. Pushing Jesus away.
Still very true about Peter in John 21. Like,
sinful guy.
Yeah, sinful guy. Like, not long before this, he had like one of the most like remembered sins in human history of denying Jesus. And this is, I believe, the fourth conversation he's about to have with Jesus post-resurrection.
Yeah,
like, you know,
they've hung out quite a bit.
They've hung out quite a bit. But like, over that 2.5 year time frame, something has flipped in Peter to go from like, "I'm not worthy to be around you because I'm sinful," to, "I got to get off this boat and get to you as fast as I possibly can." Like, even though I just massively wet the bed a week ago, and like, I know we've had our conversations about it, I know I'm forgiven, all that, but like, no one's more aware of their sin at this period in history than Peter, I would argue, you know, like, I could be wrong about
that. No leg to stand on here.
No, nothing. Dude has goofed up, and his reaction in Luke chapter 5 is, "Hey, get away from me. I'm a sinful man."
Yeah.
You know, aware of how amazing Jesus is, and then even more aware of how amazing Jesus is now, like, seen post-resurrection, having seen the transfiguration, having witnessed countless miracles, having walked with him for years and listened to him speak and see all the things he'd done, like, very aware of how amazing Jesus is. And his reaction post one of the biggest recorded goof ups in history is, "I have to get there as fast as I can," which is always funny to me that he is like, you know, like, he's basically gone down to like his undershirt and whatever, if that, like, who knows, he may just be getting some sun, like, in the altogether. We don't know for sure, but like, puts on his clothing.
Does the average age of our audience have any of them ever heard the phrase "in the altogether"?
I don't know. If Glenn listens, he has. That's who I got just the phrase from.
Yeah, that's where I know that phrase from, is from Glenn.
But
in the altogether.
Yeah, but I've always just laughed at the idea of him like clothing up, diving into the water, and then like.
Yeah, if anything, the clothes are going to make you swim slower.
Yeah, of course. It's not a fun thing.
So that was going to be my point, is he's, you know, he's down to his skivvies, if that, fishing, and skivvies. Yeah, getting some vitamin D.
Two V's on that?
I'll allow it.
Or is that a, like, is it a word or word?
No, I think I'm going to go with two V's.
S-K-I-V-Y or S-K-I-V-V-Y?
I-E-S, definitely.
Well, no, I was singular? Skivvy.
That's a good question.
Nothing our old phone couldn't help us with if we needed it.
Regardless of the fact that we hold the sum total of human knowledge in the palm of our hands. So he's in his skivvies. He's fishing. finds out Jesus is a football field away.
Yeah.
And as you're saying, his reaction is, I got to get as close to Jesus as I can. That's where I belong. I belong close to Jesus. Beautiful. What I love about this is that feeling is so overwhelming that he completely like forgets the fact that if I grab my clothes and put them on me before I jump in this water, I'm going to be such a slower swimmer.
I've always imagined the boat lapping him as he's like,
yeah, yes,
trying, out of breath. Like,
his clothes soaked and heavy behind him, his legs sticking together.
Yeah, there was a moment last year. We had our dog for like 4 months, and we took her to the lake. You know, like I tried to get her to swim in my parents' pool in the summer. She wouldn't do it, and for whatever reason, we were down at the lake at my father-in-law's camper, and there was a duck like 30 yards offshore. And Dobby, our dog, looked at me, and I looked at her, and I was like, go get it. And she jumped from the bank and swam, and that duck didn't fly. It just kept swimming further and further out. And my father-in-law looked at me and like was like, she's going to drown. You're going to have to go get her. And like finally she decided to come back and was like dead when she got back, you know? But like I think of Peter.
You don't
like,
mean actually dead.
No, but she, hyperbolic. She was out of gas. But Peter, like... I imagine the same type of deal. It's like, bro, I'm going to have to come get you. He doesn't, obviously, but like, dude, that's a long way to swim and your clothes. And like, I don't know. I think this is the only, like the other time you have been in the water, it didn't go super well either. Like,
the other time that you tried to get to Jesus to go,
I know that professionally you spend a lot of time in water.
I just would love for one of the disciples to be like, every time you see Jesus, just jumping out this boat. But the reason I asked you if Dobby is still alive was because I don't know how people listen to this podcast. They might have little ears in the back of the car.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
And so we want to make sure that...
Do you know that factually?
No, but...
I didn't know if that was an experience or...
Little ears in the back of the car. Dobby is alive and well.
My dog is doing great. Although she did get scared today and her bladder relieved herself in her kennel. I know. That's why I said it that way.
Oh, the school nurse. Inside joke. School. Oh, gosh.
I hope he hears that. I don't know if he listens to this, but I don't think he does either. Maybe someone will send it to him and be like, fast forward, scrub ahead to 1732.
Let's see how close you were to that guess. It literally was 1748.
Oh,
wow. How did you do that?
He's sitting 8 feet away from me.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's just like, he's like, there's Jesus. I'm so overwhelmed. It's like the way a dog feels about his owner. It's just like, I'm so excited you're home. Ah!
Yeah.
Just like, throw my coat on. Bro, don't throw your coat on. You're going to be so...
Yeah.
And there he is in the water. It's like, I just got to get to Jesus.
Yeah.
And like, that is so sweet.
Yeah. Anyways.
I love it.
I was... shared that with Maddie today. She asked me what I was going to talk about in here, and I was like, I think I'm going to do this. And she, like, her, it was beautiful. Her reaction was just like, I want to be like that.
Mm.
And I was just like, yeah, me too.
Yeah, wherever you are, that's where I want to be.
Yeah.
Can we look at Matthew chapter 12?
Matthew chapter 12. Every podcast is somebody's first podcast. Maddie is my wife.
Yeah. for the little ears in the back.
We made vows to each other.
You did. I was there.
Yeah, you were one of like three people there.
That's right. This is from Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to start at the very beginning of the chapter.
Okay.
At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and he began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what's unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty or in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you, one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath."
Mm.
A lot of cool stuff going on in this in this section, one of the cool things to point out is that Jesus defends his guys from religious legalism.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I love when Jesus defends somebody when in the face of somebody else being a jerk. That's just so fun.
Yeah, and also, but like, I'm very pro that. It's just funny to me that like, it's the equivalent of like chewing gum in church or something is what it feels like to me. It's like someone getting mad at you for chewing gum in church.
Yeah,
it's
I mean, they were so freaked out about the Sabbath.
Don't you know you're in the house of God? Quit chewing gum. Like, what do you mean? You know, it's like, yeah, we're walking through a field and I grabbed something.
It's like sunflower seeds.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to crack this little husk there and then eat this little seed.
Yeah.
It's like, chill.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's because, like if they had a bag of already shelled sunflowers, like sunflower seeds, it would have been no problem. But because it was Saturday and they were cracking the shells, pulling the kernels off of the wheat and cracking the little husk and eating the kernel of grain, because they were doing it that way, that was considered threshing. So you're working. That's a no-no.
A lot of work.
Yeah. So Jesus defends his guys, which is cool.
Yeah.
He takes an Old Testament text to prove that, like, hey, dude, there are exceptions when everybody needs to chill. And that's really cool too. But the thing that the thing that made me slam on the brakes when I read this was something greater than the temple is here.
Yeah.
Somebody more important than that thing you care so much about is right here in front of you.
Yeah, cool.
And the thing that it did in me was to create really a space of self-examination of like, what are the things that are so important to me that I get really, really wrapped up in them, getting it right or being true or whatever the thing is. I get really, really wrapped up in this thing that's super important to me. And someone greater than that thing is right beside me.
Yeah.
And wants to be enjoyed. Yeah. And wants to have a relationship with me.
That's cool.
And he's right here. He's right. It's like, hey, buddy, like, I know you really, really care about this thing. I know this is super important to you right now. Yeah. I'm telling you, something bigger than that and cooler than that is right beside you.
Yeah.
Don't miss it.
That's cool.
Don't miss me. I'm right here. And I think, like, just like in an unlegalistic way or anything like that, I think he wants my attention.
Yeah.
I think he wants me to pay attention that he's around and to care about the fact that he's available and that he wants to hang out and that he wants to be friends. And that, like, he's more immediate. He's more important. He's a bigger deal than all the stuff that I get really, really worked up about.
Yeah. And for the better too. You know what I mean? Like, you could describe that to somebody and it would be like, well, that's lame, but it's not. You know what I mean? Like, I want to probably do a better job of explaining that. Like, I feel like I'm not, when I think about all the highlights in my life and all the greatest moments, all the greatest things, probably my best memories, my favorite whatevers, like, involve something to do with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's not, the things I don't remember are like the things, you know, like there's so many things that I spend a lot of time doing that like I'll never remember, or I spend a lot of effort in and I just don't, like, it's like, that was cool. That was fun. Cool. Like,
yeah,
I'm sure I'm really going to look back on, all those Instagram reels that I spent 30 minutes watching and think that was a great time in my life, you know, like whatever, like, and I'm not even knocking that. Like, I have a blast. I'm in this like group message on, and like Maddie makes fun of me so much because she's like, you on TikTok? I'm like, no, I'm on Instagram. She's like,
reels?
You're literally watching TikToks that are 2 weeks old. That's what that is. And
that's,
I'm
what,
like,
Instagram reels are?
Cause I'll send them to her and she's like, yeah, I saw that 2 weeks ago. I'm like, what? I'm like, nah, I don't have TikTok. I haven't. So
the thing that we need to make sure that you guys who are listening to this show understand is that when Thomas talks about watching Instagram reels and laughing at them, if he laughs at them, it's because somebody got hurt.
No.
In that. Yes, it is. Like,
there was even
What's that about me?
There was even one a couple of days ago that you put in the thread for all of our friends to see. And it was like a little kid got hurt.
No one knows that she got hurt. She was riding her bike and she just went off the side of the trail.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows if she got hurt?
Oh, sure.
What does that say about me? But okay, let me.
Thomas has such a. You have so much Schadenfreude.
I do. I don't know what it is.
That's like your superpower is Schadenfreude. It's like it's out of balance in you.
You know who else does is Rob though.
Does he?
Yeah.
Rob enjoys someone else's.
Pain. Rob slapstick humor is like Rob's bread and butter. I don't remember what someone the other day.
Maybe that's why Rob likes Tuna Mac so much.
The other day we were at club. I've talked about Maddie a lot on this episode, but someone whacked her with one of those pool noodles the other day at club, and it was like I think it was like really hard across the face on accident.
Yeah,
and it was right as Rob rounded the corner, and he like doubled over laughing. I didn't see it, but Maddie was like, "Rob laughed so hard at me." It was yeah. Okay, I need to. Try to not walk back what I was saying, but I want to unpack that better. I'm not knocking. I'm like so pro fun things. It's yes. Not even like that's my like there's you know the list of love languages.
Yeah.
Like number one, like I have like invented my own, which is like if it's fun and we can laugh about it, I want that's what I want. Yeah. Like you know that's like my thing. But like. I don't know. I don't really know how to explain what I was saying.
Well, I want to go off of what you're saying, which is just like...
Clear up what I was saying for me.
Well, the thing is, for me, regardless of if it's something fun, if it's something deep, if it's something mundane, there is a place where the living Jesus is right there on the edge of that reality.
Yeah.
Vying for my attention. He actually wants to share all of it. Mm-hmm. He wants to share in the pleasure I take in a delicious cup of coffee and the joy that you take in watching someone
there you go.
Get hurt yeah. for some reason. Okay.
I just like accidentally agreed with you on that too.
I mean, the joy that we take in, you know, in the fact that our regional sports team always beats that sports team from Lexington, you know?
Listen, that's okay. I love what you're saying because that adds a whole dimension to what I'm trying to say and it makes it clear and makes more sense. It's like, and it's things we've talked about in here before where things that bring you joy throughout the day.
Yeah.
Credit the Lord for them. And like, I want to do that more and more. And it, yeah, I just think that's so cool. And there's nothing better than like watching the color orange beat down the color blue.
Yeah. I mean, and
it's a gift from the Lord.
And to think, yeah, that the Lord is right on the edge of that saying, I want your attention too. Cause I want to enjoy what you're enjoying right along with you.
Yeah.
I think it's so sweet. And just, this verse got my attention on this past Sunday because, for those that don't know, our church, we had church in a park. Just to remember the way that we had church for 14 months during the height of the pandemic. And we just had church outside with lawn chairs and a mobile speaker. And it was really, really sweet and fun. And so we decided almost a year later, let's run it back and have church in the park. And I was thinking about this verse that one greater than the temple is here. We don't need a building. We don't need whatever. But then the deeper reality for me this week and thinking about this verse more and more is just like, the Pharisees' problems was that they were just so in love with being right about this thing.
Yeah.
And Jesus is like, you love the temple so much.
Yeah.
You're like defending it. You're so hype about these rules and stuff. Yeah. And I'm telling you, there's a whole rich life and I'm right here. I want to give you more.
Yeah.
And everything you love about the temple and the rules, I'll be in that with you, but like we will find a deeper reality there and a deeper sweetness there together. And I just want to get better at giving him my attention and all of the things that he's given me throughout the day.
Yeah.
You know, whether it is just like, you know, a great few minutes standing on the front porch enjoying so many bird songs, or just like a really amazing bite of the stir fry that I'm going to make tonight for dinner.
Ooh, yeah.
Or just, you know, that fake blue checkerboard getting a beat down. You know, whatever it's going to be. That it's just, it's like right in the middle of all that, he's like, hey, I'm right here to enjoy all of that with you.
Yeah, it's just, it's a knockoff checkerboard.
It is. It's like, it's like when you're, it's like when you go like at a family gathering and you hang out with like cousins you never really see very much, and like, you know, they're not all that socialized. And so you tell them about Harry Potter and they're like, wow, that sounds amazing. But then like the next time you hang out with them, they're like reading that knockoff novel of Harry Potter. That's like that you know, that you find at like Big Lots or something like that. And it's like, it's not really Harry Potter. It's not even good, but it's what they think it's supposed to be.
You lost me. Kentucky sucks. I don't know what you're talking about, but.
Oh, thanks for joining us, folks. I'm Lee.
That was so bad. I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
I am new.